A lot of people moving a little more slowly than we usually see today based on watching the game last night.
Oh,
it's just
my
a
God.
Little sleepiness in the air, but a lot of excitement I'm sure will build.
Is that what that is? Is that what my problem is right
I
now?
I think sleepiness? It's sleepiness combined with maybe something else, Rowan. Maybe something else for you.
Yeah. I think I had a little bit. I was having the nice ice cold Budweiser last night, and then somebody opened up a bottle of wine. I said you should never combine those two things. No, the Budweiser is a good way to go.
Yeah,
or the 312. I turned it toward the 312. You know what? It's Goose Island. I want to represent for Chicago right now.
Good Chicago beer.
Because, you know, Budweiser was from St. Louis, but is currently, I think, from the Czech Republic or something, right? Who owns them? I don't even know.
Is it InBev? I don't even know.
And there's like two companies that own all the beer
in the world.
And now it's like I want, and that's why I like the Goose Island, although I think they're owned by one of those companies now, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there was.
True.
But I do love the Chicago brewed stuff. It's awesome. All right. Now, Richard Roper is joining us.
Hello.
Yeah,
you're right. You know, it's like all these kids that love their, I really love my hog's breath, three-legged, independent pale ale. I'm so cool. And you turn it around. Manufactured by World Corp.
Right.
Okay.
It's not really a craft
okay,
beer millennial. Then. I can't really count it.
Although, I got to say, Lagunitas, right? Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then, there's guys in Bedford Park. There's sure. guys making their name right
There's
now
revolutionary.
Is in part. Revolution is great here, but the guys in Bedford Park are the pony, the three something.
Sheeps? No.
Three, not three sheeps. Now, don't guess, Violetta.
Why?
Just making stuff up.
My Little Pony?
Yeah.
Is
My Little Pony beer. That would be good. I think she would like that.
Bronies?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good.
I like the Not Your Father's.
Three Rabbit.
Five Rabbit.
Five Rabbit.
Oh, yeah. Then when they got two more Rabbit.
it's built up more Rabbits.
Yeah, by tomorrow it'll be 25 Rabbits. You know how
that
goes. Yeah,
okay.
That stuff is really good if you can get it. Yeah. You can find it.
I haven't heard
it's
of that, really so I'll have to check that out.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Should we start with the business here before we get to the business?
Well,
it's
sure.
a hard question to answer.
He really did have a lot of the beer and the wine. Should we talk about the thing before we go by the place?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Now, let me
Which
ask.
Which thing are we going to talk about first?
I want to talk about that thing that happened last night with Richard Roper, who
sure.
is a confirmed Sox fan, was in 2005 one of the highlighted, famed
right.
personages who was a Sox fan of national recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm going to put you in the Eddie Vedder role.
Yeah,
well,
that works.
Thing. It was a strategic move as a child, hoping to one day become a media personality. And it worked out because, you know, you look at the Cubs game, they send out the list, it would be like Lady Gaga, Bill Murray, Eddie Vedder, John Cusack. And then in 2005, it was me, Dennis Young, and George Wendt, you know, which is a great company to be in. Both friends and friends of the show. But, I mean, that was it. So they would just, you know, I would be getting calls from, like, the BBC, Tokyo Radio, because they'd be like, who else can we talk to in Chicago?
Right.
Oh, yeah, that one guy.
And then the president, but you can't really count him, as you pointed out earlier, right, Rome?
Yes. Well, you can count. Although, here's the thing that I like about that. Did you hear this today?
What he said?
The president?
Yeah.
Did you hear what he said? So it's like... Wait, can you play? That's fantastic.
Let's
play that for us again, because I would. This was one of these moments because I never really thought he was all that because he booted the question about who his favorite Sox player of all times was, right? Luis Aparicio.
I don't think he's a big baseball fan as much as
football,
the dailies
basketball.
Were. He's a huge basketball fan, college and pro.
Yeah, and football. He seems to
he
really
likes the football.
Yeah,
I mean,
he likes
the hockey
football
and the cheat sheet with the names and all the guys.
You can't remember that.
Remember that?
Which one's King?
We've got Tobes.
I've got Tobes. We've got King. And Quinville.
Here was the president today out on the campaign trail. Do we have it? Do we have it? Yes. Hold on. Here we go.
And you want to just focus on the Cubs winning the World Series, which, by the way, even for a White Sox fan, is a pretty big deal. Because they
I mean, come on.
I love that.
Isn't this – what was the Chris Rock
he's
movie
having fun.
Where he was the president and then he realized, oh, my God, these people all hate me?
He's in that home stretch right now.
Right. He's in
totally.
That moment.
Totally. I said senioritis, you know. Yeah. You kind of passed your exams. You got into college or you figured out your year abroad or whatever. And you're just sort of, you know, having fun.
Lick a bedroom, a little wank staying over tomorrow night. Oh, fuck!
What is happening with the president?
He's doing, I mean, you know? Imagine how Fox News would have mauled him in 2008. For doing that. Or 2012.
That is or even the Come On Man one, too, you know?
Like come
that,
on, man.
That wouldn't fly as well back in the day, right?
That's amazing.
So sweet.
Do we have him doing Come On Man? Do we still have
that?
Come on, man.
Come on, man. It was today.
It was today, doing too?
Oh, my God.
He did
today
it again.
In Florida, I think it was in Florida today, he was the whole thing. Was about, you know, he's got his own stand-up now about how Trump is, like, you know, corporate, he's not going to look out for your interests or blah, 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 blah. But it was like, come on, man, don't chump me.
That's amazing.
I know. He is returning to his roots of being, like, an average guy.
Yeah.
Which he was not, which, you know, he's had to pretend he hasn't been an average guy.
Yeah, he's going to have, like, the 280Z up on blocks on the front lawn of the White House, you know. Up there in the sleeveless T-shirt that we used to call all kinds of names that we don't say anymore, you know, cigarette dangling out,
right,
waving at the neighbors with
he'll
the rag
start
in his
smoking
hand.
Yeah. For sure.
That's when we will know he is gone.
What's up?
Completely when he's got the peck of cools and he's popping
them,
you know. That's when we will know for sure that he's like, I don't give a crap anymore about any of this stuff. And you know what, Michelle? I'm sick and tired of that whole thing with the carrots. Too.
Yeah, really.
I'm not doing that.
We're not doing broccoli or carrots anymore. Ditching all of it.
He's got the grill going out there.
Right, exactly.
Who wants a burger? Uh-huh. Thought.
Just going by.
Exactly. Four groups. He said, come on over. How'd you like to be Secretary of Health and Education for a while?
Just you know, for like one day. Yeah. Put it on your resume.
You're deputized.
People will call you Mr. Secretary for the rest of your life.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh,
but
man.
He did invite the Cubs to the White House.
Yeah, he wants to get
that.
Got
to be there before he's gone. And
would that be four Chicago championship teams for the Obama White House? Right?
Yeah.
Because three Blackhawks
and one Cubs.
Pretty good.
That's not bad.
We have now been able to see. I mean, I've actually seen all the five major teams in Chicago. Have all won championships, and mm-hmm. I even got to see the NASL championship.
There you go.
In 19, was it 82, 81 or 82, when the Chicago Sting, Der Sting. Won the NASL Cup.
How
North
cool.
American Soccer League. Soccer League.
You thinking about soccer?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I think I might have had that last night, too.
So if you're like 40, you've seen a dozen championships. In your lifetime, if you go back to the Bears, all the Bulls, three Blackhawks, Cubs, and White Sox, right?
Well, Bears, let's see. Yeah. Right?
Six Bulls, three Blackhawks, that's nine. Cubs and White Sox is 11.
Right.
And the Bears is 85. So you've seen 12 championships since 1985. So if you're, you know, if you're a relatively young person, you can't complain about, Chicago. It's like you probably have seen more championships than any other city.
I believe that is true, too. I think it was
since 85.
When in 15, after the Hawks won their third, I think that we had beaten Boston that had
some Celtics and some Red Sox.
Celtics, Red Sox.
12 and 31 years.
Guys, don't forget about the Chicago Fire in 1998. I know you can't forget that championship.
There you go.
The MLS Cup.
We all remember where we were.
Exactly. That's a remember where you were moment.
Right.
How come I knew that the Sting won the NASL Cup, and I did not realize that? By the way, and they have the most offensive mascot. I don't care if you want to talk about Fighting Irish or you want to talk about the Redskins. The Fire has Sparky the Fire Dog.
Yeah.
Right? He's like an electrical fire. He's like waiting. It's like, and he looks like he might be up to no good.
Yeah.
There's also that wolf, too, the wolf for the Chicago Wolves.
Chicago Wolves are one of a few.
Yeah.
Now, are we just going to go down the level?
About
you know?
That.
My high school, my junior year, we took the junior varsity conference title back then.
We had a Little League title for about a month.
Yeah, got to count. Right, that's true. That got taken away.
We had a Little League title for a month.
No, but it's true. If you think about kids growing up in Chicago now, these championship droughts no longer even matter to them in some ways. You got the Blackhawks and their winning tradition, and now the Cubs and what we hope for them in the future. And they're not going to feel that as much, we hope.
What matters to kids these days?
Kids these days and getting championships left and
right. Titled kids.
Right.
Next year
we're used to winning.
Listen to this one.
Winning.
Yeah. But it's going to be great next year. We do all the reports, like on the radio and the TV, the fans who have been waiting 12 months for a championship.
Yeah. Gosh, it's great. Right, exactly.
It's been a year since.
It's been 9 months, can't they just
1 year
it up?
Old, you know, twins,
I know.
Clark and Addison, haven't seen a championship. Did you see that? Did you see those kids? There's kids, Clark and Addison.
Yes, I've interviewed that family.
You talked to them, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just so glad they're not White Sox fans because they'd be 35th and Shields, which would be, you know.
Which is where the G-spot's located.
I may just try to have twins so I could call them that. 35th and Shields? That'd be great.
35th, coming up next. Not a great name.
Coming up next. Like, Good Morning America.
Yeah. There's going to be, starting in April, when the G-spot opens, the new Guaranteed Rate Park. Is it now called.
Wow.
There are going to be guys driving around in circles three blocks
Never
away from
it. Never finding
it. Right.
Impossible.
Just like, I heard it was around here somewhere.
Yeah, where
see,
is
like,
it?
80% women fans in the crowds as they do the cutaways and guys driving around furiously.
Just stop and ask for some directions. Okay?
Guys going to all the games. This year.
Guys going by the Ryan at 60 miles an hour, passing it. And going, I don't know. I think it was there somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
I drove past it today, that big red arrow pointing down.
What
really,
are you
really
now,
great look.
That is the most amazing
really
thing.
Great look.
That they went to the Guaranteed Rate guys,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they said to them, which is a great company, a Chicago company, and God
big
bless
success
them for,
story.
Yeah, for everything they have done. Yep. But they went to them and said, you know, could we do some of the logo? Because you do have an arrow pointing downward, a big red arrow pointing downward. And it is a sport, you know, we're trying to, like, you know, encourage winning and mm-hmm. – And they're like, no.
No, we like, this
they,
is what we like.
What I like, though, is they said they went to their advertising agency, and they go, no, I think that works for us.
We'll stick with that.
Even Obama won't be able to find it, I don't think, by the time
we show you. We're going to show you, Cubs, the Edgar Renteria era beginning next year. We'll show you.
Oh, no, we've already had him. I like that. That is the most, you know, talk about the soft racism of lowered expectations or whatever George Bush called it. That's the Edgar Renteria thing. He's great with the Latin players. He's great with the Latin players because he speaks Spanish.
Rick Renteria.
Rick Renteria.
1963. Yeah, Rick, sorry. Yeah, as you can tell, I was a huge White Sox fan. I'm really pumped for next year. What's the name of the manager? I can name you. Cubs clubhouse guys, and I can name you four White Sox players. Yeah. Right,
Yosh Kawana. Right,
three of them are on their way out. If they have anything to say about it, but hey,
all right, we'll come back. We've got a review of Mel Gibson's new film, Hacksaw Ridge. Oh, Richard Roper is here. We are live at the
United Center.
United Center. Thank you. I almost called Chicago.
You thought you were Wrigley?
Ooh, wow. You know, it's a long night. You know, now it's hitting me that it was a long night.
Yeah, well, it's in us all, I think, a little bit. I've been yawning. It was a fun night of celebration, and we're paying for it now.
We are here at the United Center for the Chicago Blackhawks, facing the Colorado Avalanche, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Make Bedford Park your new home for business, and sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or 800-947-AUTO.
Auto.
All right. Hacksaw Ridge, Richard Roper, is it worth seeing?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, it is, with the caveat that it is perhaps the most violent movie I have ever seen in my life. The war scenes in this movie. It's a World War II movie. Here's the story. Mel Gibson is directing this film. And as you know, Mel went away for a little while after he had a little bit of a breakdown about a decade ago. He hasn't directed a film in 10 years.
What?
Exactly that one. Uh-huh. But you think about his movies, Braveheart and Apocalypto. I mean, Passion of the Christ. Right. I mean, he specializes in these stories of, who, you know, he considers noble men who must endure great torture and physical pain and endurance to triumph in the end. And in Hacksaw Ridge, he found a perfect subject matter. It's a true story of Desmond Doss, who in World War II enlisted in the Army and went to Okinawa as a medic and literally refused to even touch a rifle because he was a Seventh-day Adventist. He believed in nonviolence. And the Army tried to court-martial him. They tried to Section 8 him. They couldn't figure out a way to get rid of him. So he actually went to Okinawa and served with valor and was the first conscientious objector to receive the Medal of Honor. It's an amazing, true story. And Andrew Garfield, who's in the Spider-Man movies,
yeah.
plays this young Desmond Doss, a young guy, and it's an incredible story. And Vince Vaughn has a serious role as the drill sergeant, the Lewis Gossett Army role, and he's really good in this. But most of the movie is watching his struggles first in boot camp, where his fellow soldiers try everything they can to get him to quit, and he won't quit. But then once we're in the theater, and Hacksaw Ridge was this cliff that they tried to take, which was this amazing battleground where tens of thousands of soldiers on both sides were killed. Mm. And once you get into the thick of battle, I mean, it really, I think, is probably one of the more realistic depictions of war. But, I mean, it's amazing that this movie got an R rating. It's because the MPAA won't give an NC-17 to violent movies. They only do it to movies with sexual content, apparently. But don't take the kids to this. Don't take anybody younger than 14 or 15 to this. It's really good. Mel Gibson has a way of, he overdoes it with the sermonizing and the symbolism. A lot of Christ imagery. And, he really kind of pounds home a message that he doesn't need in turning this guy into, almost a Christ-like figure instead of showing more of a conflicted human being. But it's really, really well done. And it's a story that definitely needs to be told, because I don't think most people know the story of Desmond Doss, who only died a few years ago. Ended up living a long and productive life, was in the late 80s. When he finally passed away.
Sort of like a Sergeant York kind of concept here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, here he is as this medic. And even if he found himself face-to-face with a Japanese soldier who would kill him if he'd get his hand on the knife, he tends to his wounds. And if someone's approaching him and is about to kill him, he has to depend on his fellow soldiers to save his life, because he won't pick up a gun no matter what. And if he'll get killed, so be it.
Wow.
Is Mel Gibson being embraced by Hollywood again? I mean, Ro and I were talking earlier about how the trailers are starting to feature his name and mention him.
The first ads for it did not mention his name. Yeah, but the man who brought you Braveheart.
It's interesting because he's been out there a little bit. I don't think he's really done himself any favors, because he keeps saying, well, there was one incident 10 years ago. And there was way more than one incident.
Right.
There were all kinds of phone calls. And he's got the crazy beard. He's got the Letterman beard and everything. Yeah. The smartest thing he did was not put himself in the movie. He could have given himself, the role of the commanding officer or the general or something at this point. He's not in the movie. And he's a very talented director. I mean, he can stage battle scenes. If you look at Braveheart, if you look at this film, as well as anybody ever has.
And also Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto, which is was wildly ignored at the box office. And probably because it was in the original. Remember he did the Passion of the Christ in the original Aramaic, right? And you're like, I said very publicly at that time, who's going to want to go see a movie in the original Aramaic? Yeah. And I was wrong, because that was
huge hit. It got in the way in the beginning, and then as you kept watching, it was fine. It was just like watching any other foreign subtitled movie.
But that became a movement, because church groups around the country and actually around the world were sending busloads of people to see it.
Well, he debuted it in that unique way of going to mega churches across America.
It was very well done, and Apocalypto was incredibly well done. But of course, in the original Incan or whatever it was,
Mayan Cheetah or whoever the lead actor was,
But that was one of the goriest, most disturbing films I've ever seen.
This is worse.
The Normandy scene in Saving Private Ryan, this is next level, I think, in terms of the violence and intensity, and also just the length. It's everything. He pounds it home. You have these huge battle sequences, and they're all the ones who barely make it, and they're all. And then finally, the sergeant comes over and goes, we're going back tomorrow. And even as a viewer, you're like, but that's what really happened, So you have that, that empathy for the characters and that, visceral thing, which is what he's going for.
So what are you giving it?
Three stars. I would have given it more, except for just too much of the symbolism and the religious sermonizing, which, again, he didn't have to do. His movie was strong enough. It's almost as if the screenwriters weren't confident enough in the story, or Mel, as a director, was going to, really pile it on thick.
Add another element to it. All right.
Solid film.
I'm very excited about that then.
Me too.
I will not be seeing it, but I'm very excited about it.
I'll see it.
I rate these things by, am I going out to do this, or am I going to wait for it to come to me?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to wait for it to come to me.
Okay.
But I'd like
to go see this, because I think those epic battle scenes might be spectacular, even if they're disturbing in some way.
And if nothing else, if this movie has more people learning the story of Desmond Doss, I think that's a really positive thing.
That's
great chapter in history, in American history.
That's the problem Mel Gibson, too. Here's a genius filmmaker. By all accounts, when sober, and angry and bitter man, but still a great artist, right? I mean, we've had so many people that we've had to separate the art from the artist, right? But he is, you're right. He's finding a way in these interviews to, try to, he's mean and dismissive about what occurred, as opposed to just going, hey, listen, I made some mistakes here. Yeah.
Right.
Let's talk about the movie. Because he's a likable guy in interviews.
He used to be, but he keeps saying it was one incident in the back of a cab
and
or in
a
police car
sometimes about
when he had double tequilas, and he didn't say anything about all the voicemails he left his wife
right.
or the mother of his child,
yeah.
and it's a mistake on his part.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What?
You need
exactly.
medication. Although she was the first runner-up in the Melania Trump lookalike contest.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. So was
Oksana or something was the name?
Yes. Yeah.
The baby
right.
mama?
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Medication.
Yes, you didn't need the medication. What? What? All right. That's my bet. okay.
We're all losing it a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I think we are.